This podcast is brought to you by yscc.com.au. Welcome back to the Your Supercoach Coach podcast for the 2012 season. We've recorded a one-hour show for pre-NAB Cup talk, and we will be releasing it in two different parts. So this is part one. Enjoy. Welcome to the first pre-season Your Supercoach Coach podcast of 2012. It's good to be back. We are joined this year again by Mark, or FB Donkey, and Faz. We'll start off just talking a bit about YCC and what we're going to be doing this year. Again, we have the wiki, the blog, and the forum, as prices have just been released. I'm still in the process of updating the wiki, so that should be fully updated in the next few weeks in time for the busy part of pre-season. We've got the blog. I've started posting club previews every single day, and then we'll move on to some other articles like NAB Cup reviews. We've got the forum as well, where we've got our strong community of posters already starting their pre-season research, so head on over there if you haven't already and join the discussion. I've been posting a bit more on Facebook and Twitter, a bit more news updates and fantasy relevant information. So do follow us at facebook.com/yoursupercoachcoach, and on Twitter, our tag is your_sc_coach. So follow us on those two social media platforms, and don't forget to tell your friends about us. So on to season 2012. Just briefly mention how the AFL have structured the buys this year. We have rounds 11, 12, and 13 as the multi-buy rounds. We're planning to talk a bit more about buy strategy and that a bit later in the preseason, but just keep that in mind when you're picking your teams for now. Basically, we're just having a bit of a chat between the three of us, talking about the ladder for 2012 and who we think the top four will be, because we all know that's fantasy relevant, who we think the clubs on the move are and who might slide down the ladder this year. Then we're going to move on to talk about the locks at this stage of the preseason. They're not too many, but we're going to have a quick talk about that, and then move on to look at some injured players from 2011, such as Lake. I know they're pretty popular forum discussion topics at the moment. So get on with it with our ladder predictions, I guess. Boys, what do you reckon the top four will look like in 2012?
I think the top four is going to be pretty interesting this year. I have Collingwood and Hawthorn pretty much a fair way ahead of everyone else at the moment. And I really think that the Hawks will probably get revenge for last year's prelim. They probably should have made a grand final and could have easily done so. I expect Collingwood to keep going as they are. I think that Carlton should finish third this year. They should really move into that top four. I know with Jamison going down this week, that might prove a bit of a problem for them, but I think they've got a bit more depth this year than they have had in the past, and all their stars are sort of maturing and coming to the age where they should do well. So if they can avoid injury, I have them third, and fourth I think is really wide open. I think Geelong will probably still hold on to it, but there's a whole bunch of teams that could be challenging for that. I think probably West Coast will drop out, but and Freo will come up a little bit. Even the Bombers might be a chance, I don't know. But that my top four probably still just has Geelong at fourth. What do you think, Faz?
Yeah, my top four sits pretty similar to yours. I think Carlton will, you know, jump up in there with the natural improvement that you'd expect with their younger players. As you mentioned, Jamison's a big loss, but I think the big one is that Waite needs to stay healthy, because having a key forward is, you know, vital to being in the top four. I won't write Geelong off, but they, yeah, I reckon low in the top four, so probably slotting into fourth as well. And West Coast, I think, just had too good a run with injuries last year. You can't be that lucky, you know, 2 years in a row, so I'm saying West Coast dropping out. But you're right, there are a lot of teams that, you know, could push up to challenge any of those four teams.
I reckon Geelong's going to slide as well, as much as I hate to say it. I think we're going to end up probably third or fourth. It's going to be interesting. We have seven players 30 years or older. Typically, our players have done pretty well in the last season, so we haven't seen any significant drop-off, but with seven players over 30, you know, if only a few of them drop off, and I mean, they're some of our best players in the team, we're going to fall away a fair bit. And also,
I mean, already last year we had an average of about probably three rookies playing a week. We were already cycling through a lot of rookies. So you factor in the four major retirements and you're probably going to see, you know, five fairly young kids running out for the team every week. So I'm hoping we finish third, but I don't think we'll drop out of the top four personally. But then again, I am a Geelong supporter. I have Collingwood at one. Their team is superb, and I don't see them dropping off with obviously a strong intent to redeem themselves for not winning last year. And the Hawthorn, obviously, I think Champion Data rated the list. They have the strongest talent pool out of all the clubs in the AFL, so I do think Hawks will do pretty well. And they've got some really exciting youngsters like Isaac Smith. I'm really interested to see where his natural improvement goes. And then I'd have, obviously, same as you guys, Carlton third or fourth. I don't know. It seems like the rate of improvement is slower than what you'd expect with the amount of youngsters that are coming through and with the amount of elite talent they have. So maybe we see a significant jump from Carlton even, and they can propel themselves to one or two even. But if not, yeah, three or four for me, and I guess we're all fairly in consensus there.
What about the other teams? What teams do you see moving into the eight? Is there any in particular?
I think North Melbourne are in for a year of fair improvement. They have had about 2 or 3 years of solid development to their youngsters now, and they have a strong core of players who are about 21, 22, 23. And we saw, as with West Coast last year, after 2 years of just putting time into their youngsters, and Frio the year before, that you do see that significant jump. And North Melbourne, they normally fly under the radar, and I see them breaking into the top eight, but you know, it's a lot easier tipping who's going to actually enter the eight than who's going to fall out.
So do you see any fantasy relevance from these North Melbourne players?
Andrew Swallow is one, obviously, and Impromptu did mention last year that he does place greater weighting on players that are captains of their respective teams. So
especially the season that they become captains.
Yeah, so he certainly looks good there, and obviously he still has a lot of natural improvement left in him. Then we've got Todd Goldstein, and I know a fair few people are considering him, although the impact of another fantasy-relevant player, Hamish McIntosh, might affect his selection numbers. I think Brent Harvey's probably passed it in terms of fantasy relevance, but you've got Lee Adams, who's listed in the forward line as well this year. He's got mid-forward dual position eligibility. And
what was his price?
He's at 487,000, but I think he will fairly comfortably manage a premium average this year. He's quite a talent, and with, you know, only 10% natural improvement, he should get there. I think he's in his fourth or fifth year already.
Yeah,
he's he's primed to be a premium. And then the other one would be Jack Zabel, who's their new vice-captain.
He's the one that stood out to me. He was the one I was going to mention. Like, he's 430,000, I think, and as a midfielder, not really relevant. It's so hard to pick someone at that price, but I could see him making a really big jump in scoring this year to over 100 average. So that would be pretty nice if he did get on him. It's just it's so hard to have those mid prices in the midfield.
Yeah, there's a few to consider, but I think in the end we'll probably be picking between, you know, Goldstein, Swallow, and Adams, I think, are probably the three most fantasy. Oh, and Hamish McIntosh.
We'll obviously have a show later in the preseason about ruck strategy, but if you're looking at going one of the cheaper options rather than going two premiums, as a lot of people have done in previous years, I think Hamish McIntosh presents a lot of value, particularly given that he scored almost 100 in his only game last year.
There's probably some potential up back with players like McMahon and Grimer and co that have had a bit of a history of scoring that could come out, but you'd want to see a bit more from them in the preseason before you jumped on anyone like that. And I know Grimer does have the durability concerns.
So how do you guys see Brisbane? Because they've been talking themselves up as repeating the efforts of West Coast Eagles of last year, and similar to North Melbourne and West Coast last year and Fremantle 2 years ago, they have put in, I think, probably two solid seasons now of rebuilding. Their young talent's coming through at a similar age, albeit slightly younger than North Melbourne's. Will we see them improve significantly, do you guys think, or it's just a lot of preseason talk?
I just can't see a side that has given away so many of their great players doing really, really well, like Clark, Brennan, Riscatelli. There's plenty of others that they've gotten rid of, and with Staker injured, like, it's just, I just can't see them being a top eight side. I know that Jonathan Brown's coming back, and Leuenberger's coming up, and Redden and Rockliffe have just started in the midfield. Rich is apparently having a great preseason.
You've just listed a core there, though, of strong midfield talent.
I know, I think that they've probably got potential. I just can't get over the fact that they've given away so much talent. Like,
yeah.
I just can't possibly think that they could do well after doing that. But
I think that's one thing that people get tricked into, though, is that, like, you find it hard to move past previous convictions on a team. So
I think, though, that the key difference, if you can go into the comparison that you made earlier between Brisbane and West Coast, is that West Coast still had that established group of players from their premiership years. Guys like Kerr, Embley.
Cox came back, and Glass was probably the most important of them, if you ask me.
That's true, yeah. So there's all those guys. As you mentioned, Mark, there's that growing midfield group at Brisbane, but without sort of the established players, Luke Power's another one that they've lost. Brendan Favola sort of officially went off their list last year. And you'd say Simon Black's probably...
Henderson.
Yeah, their best footy's behind them, so with Black at least. So without that, group around the sort of 25 to 28-year-old range, I can't really see Brisbane jumping too much this year. I reckon they're still probably maybe not bottom four, given that we've got the two new expansion clubs, but I don't think anything above 12th on the ladder for Brisbane. That's my prediction.
So if we were to assess West Coast last year, then I think a big reason for their improvement would probably be the implementation of that new game plan that served to stifle opposition and keep the ball in that forward 50 as well.
Well, not entirely new. They had been playing the game plan the entire time. It's just that it's
just not
working.
Very well.
But they were only able to do that with the likes of their big
Cusick and Darling
and Josh Kennedy. How do you guys see them going this year, considering probably a lot more teams will be moving towards that sort of forward press game style in 2012?
Most people that I've spoken to have them slipping a bit, and I guess the main reason for that is that they just had a really easy draw last year because they'd finished so low the season before that, and they had such a great run with injury last year. With that said, I also know people that are quite knowledgeable about West Coast that see them holding their spot because they have got a really good brigade of young midfielders. They've got a couple of good key position players, and Knight Nui's coming through as well, and he can completely explode. So at this stage in the season, obviously, it's very debatable. I think that they'll slide a bit, and I think other teams will take on the same game style that they played last year, but I still see them making the eight with so many home games at Subi.
And I also think that their injury run they had last year was something that was pretty crucial to how well they finished on the ladder. Like, if you consider that a guy like Gaff was kept out of the team for most of the first half of the year, we know the talent that he has, but it was really just that they really had just about their best team to pick from every week. And, if you assess most football teams through the last few years, that never really happens. So I think that just they're going to get hit by a couple more injuries this year, which will hurt them.
So moving to another WA club, the Fremantle Dockers, who did come, I think, fifth in 2011.
Yeah.
How do you guys see them going?
No, that would have been 2010, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, in 2010. Yep. Sorry.
Yeah. They're so hard to predict, Fremantle. Maybe they might be easier to predict with Lyon in charge, but I think they should be pushing fifth or sixth, really. They had just had an insanely bad run of injuries last year, basically the opposite of what happened to West Coast. All of their stars got injured, probably. Pav was just about the only one that stayed on the park. So if they can get just a little bit of luck, they've got some improving young players coming back. They've got a reasonable amount of depth, new solid coach. Things out of the preseason seem pretty good for them. You would really think that they should be challenging for the top six and maybe even threatening a top four spot.
You'd think that with Ross Lyon that Fremantle would probably get their act together. I mean, the club admitted themselves that a bit of overtraining went on in pre-season that saw such an improvement, but also equated to the number of injuries that resulted. So, I agree with you, Mark, that they could be pushing for the top four spot, but how do we feel in terms of fantasy relevance? Because I know there are quite a lot of players that we can be looking at. We've got Sanderlands, we've got Fife, we've got Mundy, who's did average 120 before going down. We've got Pavlik recorded 20 seconds off his PB so far this preseason. We've got Broughton, another breakout candidate. We've got Barlow coming back. I know some people are talking about Mzungu, although that doesn't seem too likely. We've got Duffield, who dropped last year. Is he in for a return to form this year? And then we've got some rookies even. We've got Lee Spur, I know people are talking about. There are quite a lot of options. Morabito, who's a highly rated youngster, coming back from the injury, although I think his preseason hasn't been quite as good as we'd hoped for. How do you guys see them going in terms of fantasy?
Well, I think that's why we're talking about this subject to begin with, and that's we're looking for teams that are going to go up. You should be picking players from those sides, and teams that are going to go down, you should probably be picking less players from those teams. So Fremantle are a great example of someone that you'd really want to sneak a couple of their players into your team, whether probably the high end, whether it's a Pav or a Fife up forward, a Broughton up back, or trying to get a Sandilands in there. I think I'd probably like to be going into the season with two Fremantle players if I could.
Yeah, Barley's one that I've definitely got my eye on. You know, we all remember what he did back in his first season. As you know, with a broken leg, it takes a bit of time to come back from, and the reports have been that he's been, you know, absolutely killing it at training. So yeah, Barlow's one. It's sort of awkwardly priced given the midfield structures that most people like to go with, it being premiums and rookies. But I reckon Barlow can step back up to a premium average. And one other player that I've heard sort of being mentioned during the preseason is Hayden Ballantyne, who looks set for some more midfield time. I don't know. You know, he's one of those sort of little annoying players. Anyone that gets like known for pinching, I don't really want in my team.
he reminds me of, you know, there are quite a few small forwards in the game that end up breaking out into fairly strong midfielders. I think, you know, Ablett did start his career as a small forward. We've got, you know, Rioli. They're really skillful. They're quick. They're really great at selling some candy, and the abilities that make you a strong small forward, you know, a strong impact player, translate well into the midfield should you get that fitness under your belt. And it will be interesting to see how Ballantyne goes. Though priced at 390,000, and with, you know, a significant influx of mid-forward MPP players in 2012, it will be interesting to see if it does become a viable option, because the likes of Martin, Sidebottom, Beams, Robinson, Saharakis that we have to consider. So I know we will talk about Sandilands later in the show. We'll do a segment on older premiums, whether or not to go with them or go for youth. I know that's a big theme this year. But one player that I do want to talk about, because he's been popping out a lot, is Greg Broughton. He's priced at 502,000. He was pretty poor to start 2011, but when he finally got unleashed into the midfield, we saw what he was capable of. I think he did average, you know, 95 to 100, something in that range in his first season of AFL. So he is a Supercoach star. How do you guys see Broughton going, especially, you know, considering the back line is probably the weakest scoring line in 2012?
I'd say you definitely need to keep a close eye on the preseason for Fremantle to see where they play Broughton. You know, it's a new coach in Ross Lyon, so you can expect some changes to go in with the team structures and everything. But if Broughton's getting even half a game in the midfield, I reckon most people should be getting all over that. He's a very talented user of the football.
Which Ross Lyon loves.
Yeah, he's got a good engine on him. I think, you know, he trained with the midfield group last preseason, I think, which is why I ended up starting with him in my team. So I reckon I might be doing that again this year and jumping on Broughton.
That would be Marcus's dog.
Apologies, she's still a pup, so he goes a bit nuts sometimes.
He had a really poor start to last year. He didn't score over 100 till round 10 when he finally got moved into the midfield. I think then he averaged 125 over the next five or six games before just dropping off again at the end of the year, and actually averaged 6 points less for the season. He did finally play 21 games last season after only 15 in his first 2 years. I think that he has been training a lot with the midfield group, and I think he's a pretty good selection up back this year, given the fact that you want to pick a Fremantle player if you can. If you can get some midfield time, Fremantle have got plenty of other players that can play up back now, so there's a decent chance he will actually be playing a bit in the midfield, so I think he's a pretty good pick.
All right, so there are a few more clubs I want to talk about, one of which is Essendon, and I'm sure you guys are pretty keen to get into it. So how do you guys see your team going in 2012? I'm guessing high expectations.
Yeah, pretty excited at this stage, Marcus. I'm really, really looking forward to getting into the season and seeing some footy, not just from Supercoach perspective, but from the Bombers perspective as well, after a few pretty average seasons. Fantasy-wise, I don't think that we're all that relevant. We've probably got maybe Zaharakis and possibly Heppel, the only real fantasy-relevant players. I think we've got too much depth to actually pick any rookies.
How about
personally.
Job? Sorry to cut
yeah, in. Yeah, I reckon Job is one that you'd be considering, given how well he'd started the year. I think it was close to 120 until he did that first hamstring injury. You know, there's obviously the durability concerns, having never played a full season. But
that's just too big for me, the durability concerns.
If he can stay in the park, though, you know, I've heard commentators saying that he's a you know, a shot at the Brownlow when he ever gets a full season. You know, I'm hoping that
he
happens.
Does play a Brownlow style of game though.
Yeah, lots of contested footy. His kicking, we all noticed, you know, had a marked improvement last year. Started kicking more goals, so you'd think that, you know, more improvement will be on the way this year. Job's one that I'm definitely considering, given that he presents a fair bit of value.
Sure, he's never averaged over 110 even. I know that's probably been a bit to do with injury. And look, I love Job, but I just think that there's much better midfield premiums that I'd be looking to pick out there.
Sure. I'd have to agree with you on that one, as tempting as he is.
The Bombers as a team, I'm pretty excited that we could make fifth or sixth this year. I'm really hoping that we win a final. If Hurley can stay fit and our midfield can start developing, then I think we're really in for a good year.
And I guess given what you mentioned, the rookies, Mark, what do you think the chances of Kavanagh getting any games or this year are?
I think Kavanagh will almost certainly play, but I don't think that he'll get away with like Heppel did last year, mainly because like he has got an injury history himself. I know Heppel did as well, but
hamstrings are a bit different to groin, I
mean. Sure, and I think there's probably just that bit extra depth with the Bombers this year, with Windelick and Dempsey coming back, and yeah, I just think like Bombers have easily got 30 odd players that could be best 22. So maybe one to look out for is David Myers. He might have a pretty decent year, but whether he's premium status, I'm not sure.
I guess, and there's a couple of guys in our rookie list that we brought in mature ages, Corey Dell'Olio and Brendan Lee, both playing in the Waffle the last few seasons. Don't know if they'll start the season, but if they do manage to get games during the year, I reckon they could be, you know, good targets for a downgrade at some point.
I think I see Bombers in a pretty similar position to you guys. I think the biggest thing is that you've got a young brigade that really needs to step up to continue to step up to see you move to that fifth or sixth. You know, you've got your Colliers, your Melkshins, your Hurleys, those type of players. If they can continue, you know, natural rate of improvement, or slightly higher than natural rate of improvement, then you'll see Essendon seriously threatening. But, you know, predicting...
We beat Geelong last year.
Yep, you did. But predicting, you know, breakouts in young talent across your whole playing list is, you know, something that's never really guaranteed. So I see them fifth or sixth, or maybe even finishing, you know, still seventh or eighth. So, but I definitely have them in the top eight. The last two clubs I want to talk about, clubs that have enjoyed, you know, success over the last few years, and that's St Kilda and Western Bulldogs. So I guess we'll start off with the easier of the two, St Kilda. Where do you guys see them? Their list is probably slightly better than Western Bulldogs at the moment. Similar to Geelong, they have a brigade of significantly older players and significantly younger players. And how they meld together remains to be seen, but Scott Waters does seem to be instilling quite a good and strong club culture at that football club. They did need some culture rebuilding following 2011. They were hit pretty hard. They weren't playing as their potential suggests they could. How do you guys see them?
They've got a lot of really good players on their list, but I think that I'd actually rather be in the Bulldogs situation at the moment, because I think the Bulldogs will come back up the ladder quicker than St Kilda would. They'd hardly played one young player in the last 4 or 5 years. Like, they just really didn't develop their youth as much as they needed to. Even Geelong last year had the Duncans and the Menzels out there getting games, whereas St Kilda just haven't got that young talent, I don't think. At least the Bulldogs, they're good players, are a little bit spread out across the years. Players like Liam Jones coming through. My one hope for St Kilda this year is that Goddard leaves at the end of the year. I think it's best for his career, best for the AFL if he goes to GWS. Yeah, I guess I don't really expect them to make the eight. They could, given the amount of top-end talent that they've got, but I would sort of expect them to finish sort of 7 to 11.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Mark, their history of playing rookies has been terrible in the last 2 years. I just opened up the prospectus while you were talking. From the 2009 and 2010 drafts, those players have played 14 games in the last 2 years, which is an absolutely damning statistic when you consider that, you know, Richmond had 166 games in the players from those drafts in the same period of time. But I'd say with a new coach, that could be about to change. So I reckon keep track of St Kilda's youngsters over the pre-season, see who's getting good game time and playing in key positions. The one that I have my eye on at the moment is Ahmed Saad, who's a mature age player, small forward.
Picked up footy at a late age, so there's plenty of scope for improvement.
More development should come. And they only have sort of Stephen Milne is the only player on their list that plays that role. Tried to get Ryan Gamble in last year, that didn't work. So I reckon if he can lock down a spot at only 124,000, you know, that seems like good value. Seb Ross is another guy I sort of had a bit of a look at, given the rumours were that he'd go to Essendon in the draft last year. Got a reasonable amount of the ball in the TAC Cup. He's a cousin of Job Watson, so there's, you know, good footy pedigree in his family. It's obviously too early to be really talking much about rookies, given that we haven't seen a single game of preseason football played. But I reckon that's where you know, St Kilda could be fantasy relevant this year, is getting on some of those youngsters, that'll hopefully get a few more games this year.
Mm. Unfortunately, I think Ahmed Saad probably plays a position that's hard to score. I think that's his only detraction at the moment, but yeah, he certainly looks like a good prospect. I think the other two is Cripps, apparently is a strong chance for games. And
Wilkes up back, yep. At your age.
I think he's in most people's draft teams at this stage.
So absolutely.
Then we'll move on to talking about the last club for our ladder talk, and that's the Western Bulldogs. So how do you guys see them going? I think, Mark, you said you preferred to be in their position in terms of rebuilding.
I prefer to be in their position as far as rebuilding goes, but I expect them to probably do worse this year than St Kilda do. If Cooney can get 22 games, they should improve a little bit on last year, but I think they're going to struggle without Hall up forward. I know Morris is down at least for a little while, and he's just a hugely important player for them. But, yeah, I think that they're going to rely pretty heavily on Boyd Cooney and Lake showing a good year as well.
Yeah, their forward line is highly depleted. Do they have any key position forward of note?
Jones, I think, is actually a pretty good player. And is it Grant, the other guy, that's really skinny?
Yeah, but I think they both are probably 2 years off.
I think you might find Jones actually step it up a little bit this year. I think Grant was really disappointing last year, though.
Hmm.
And Grant's also a bit undersized, isn't he?
Which is weird, because he's had his time to develop.
Yeah, still looks so skinny. Yeah.
Shout out to Easton Wood, though. Went to high school with him.
Yeah.
Surely on the verge of a breakout year.
I guess so, yeah. He plays the right role as well.
He was fantasy popular this time last year as running off half back, and then he went down in the first game against the Bombers, didn't he?
Yep. We'll move past ladder talk then and into the next segment of the show, and that's talking.
And that wraps up part one of our two-part pre-NAB Cup pre-season talk. Please stay tuned on yscc.com.au for part two. We hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks.